This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 15th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, defensive end, Georgia. The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 26th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 26th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select James Pierce Jr., defensive end, Tennessee.
And you will hear both of those guys later on this afternoon in the 4 o'clock hour on Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live out here at Stone Mountain Golf Club. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We are in a celebratory mood, my friends. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Rusty Manziel. Look, you'll also hear Terry Fontenot today coming up at 1:30. Do not miss that interview. Terry Fontenot is... he's riding the wave right now, right? He's riding the wave right now.
Different morning than last year.
A lot different line of questioning in that 1:30.
And not saying that was – now you're going back and look at – obviously, we talk about the pick with Penix.
Yeah.
But this time last year –
yes.
What had happened?
A lot more head scratching. Reminder, we do have the morning shift does have a compensatory pick announcement coming up at 8:40. Don't want to miss that. That'd be a lot of fun. Dave Archer also coming up at 8:20. We're going to get to the wake up calls 404-726-0929. We've got full phone lines right now. Guys, we haven't even had a chance to really break down the NFC South, you know, to an extent. A couple of wide receivers taken, a couple of, I don't know, not head scratching moves. I think they kind of fit, but. Bo, I think when you look at both Carolina's move and really Tampa, probably much less for New Orleans, but you look at kind of those moves. We always talk about best player available and needs versus, you know, talent, I guess, or skill set. Both those teams kind of went towards the need, in my opinion.
Carolina absolutely went need. I think New Orleans went need. I don't really know what Tampa did with Egbuka. I think it's how you pronounce his name.
Emeka Egbuka is a – I'm going to say this. It's a damn good football player.
No, he is, Rusty. Twice. But, Rusty, they got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and now him.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, too, they drafted Jalen McMillan last year, too.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm – they went best player available to me in their mind on their board.
Sure.
But with the McMillan pick is just – I understand, but they needed defense too, and they needed speed. That's why Jalen Walker was mocked there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to keep that. Now, like I said earlier, you still do have New Orleans at 40 today. I will be keeping my eyes peeled for a quarterback given that situation and the questions around Derek Carr. You know, you start looking on down the list. Tampa Bay's at 53 today. Carolina at 57, which is a, you know, trade from the Rams for them. So, look, you'll have a lot of questions. There will be a lot of fun had tonight. New Orleans back at 71. So there's a number of different picks throughout the division. But I think we all kind of considered the fact that you would see Jalen Walker and Mykael Williams go inside the division, yeah. Rusty, and it didn't end up happening. And so I think we all just kind of breathed a sigh of relief, and the Falcons reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah,
so,
man, and I love the fact that we're going to get to see Jalen Walker on Kelvin Banks twice a year.
Like, oh, I do too.
Let me tell you something. Kelvin Banks, listen, he made a lot of money last night, and he's a hell of a football player, but don't think he didn't sit around this morning going, damn, I got to deal with that dude twice a year now.
Rusty.
I already played this dude twice.
Rusty.
I think he had 9 tackles and 4 sacks on him.
Jeez.
In 2 games.
That's the thing that no one's talking about. Hey, my first-round draft pick absolutely dominated my arch rival's first-round draft pick, and they're going to go against each other.
Yes. So much fun to keep tabs on, man. So a lot of that conversation. We'll hit Dave Archer up about that as well. That's coming up at 8:20. And like I said, so many other things coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game today. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Let's go to Rich in Stone Mountain. Hey, man, we're out here,
right,
Rich.
Up the road, dog.
What's going on, Rich?
Hey, man. First things first, you got great show as usual.
Thank
That's
you, sir.
Number one. Number
Thank
two,
you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I got to say that twice.
No doubt. They
hit it out the park this morning. I mean, last night. And I want to say this. The rest of the offensive coordinators around the league are going to have a lot less sleep. And I'm out.
When is the last time, guys, that we have felt that way? That the offensive coordinators from around the league would lose sleep over the Atlanta
Falcons. I mean, listen, you know what we were? We were a get-right team.
Yeah. That's a good point. Offensive coordinators looked at our defensive unit over the last couple of years and said, you know what, now's the time.
This is the week.
Now's when we'll find out.
To pull that wrinkle out, see what it looks like. This team's not overly going to, you know, consume us, worry all week. Let's put in some extra stuff.
Yeah.
Now you go, we got to get rid of the ball, man.
Yeah.
You got to get the ball out of your hands.
People flying around everywhere.
You
add in the development of those guys they drafted last year, Bo, and that you start to get excited.
Well, first off, what Rusty just said to me, I mean, I felt like Hollywood and Top Gun, and Rusty will know what that means.
No doubt, baby.
They're getting close. But just knowing that that's what people's mindset. But this was something I was told. And, you know, we hear things, Mike, and Rusty, I know you hear things in the college world a lot and some in the pro when you've worked with teams in their draft rooms. But I was told that last year's draft, that the second, the third, and the fourth round stuff, and the fifth round, they did that. That was a developmental plan. They wanted some of those guys to be here next year and be ready to go. I think what we saw last night was that they feel good about what they did last year and what they have in the interior, probably more than fans and some people in the league, you know, like the experts.
Sure.
And they made the other part better last night.
Yeah. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Chris over in College Park. Chris, good morning, buddy. Rise up.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Baby, what a night. Fearless leader, good morning.
Sir?
Big Mike.
Hey, man, living Rusty. The dream today.
What's up, man?
Living the dream.
They let me get in. Everybody's in such a good mood. They're like, Rusty, you just come on in.
You
don't
hop
morning,
on
man.
With us, man. Yeah,
come
what's
on,
up?
Come on in early.
Yeah, man, awesome night. Let me just say this. As he was falling, Walker, I'm hugging my pillow on the couch.
Oh,
Mike Conti's talking about 45 seconds, 30 seconds. I was like, what are they doing? And when the call came through, I ain't kidding, y'all. I yelled in my house like a kid on Christmas. I'm so happy. And Squid and Mike know I've been talking about a draft pick being defensive for 2 years straight and even before y'all came on. And to the Falcons brass, big salute. I don't know if you've been listening to the fans or hearing the scuttlebutt, but to get a Georgia player and then follow that up with Pierce also from the SEC is just a banner day for the franchise. You know, re-excited, rejuvenated for the season. And this is what else, and I'll get out of here and let some other people talk. We now got some young talent. That defensive room, the elevation of competition and on the field, you know, practice and all that just rose up a big level. And, again, man, I can't even contain my excitement. Go Falcons, hashtag Squid Nation, hashtag Squid Squad.
I love it, man. I always love the excitement from Chris. Dylan, let's go right back to the phone line. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to Dan over in Decatur. Dan, good morning, man.
It's a party, baby. It's a mafia party today, baby.
The vibes are high,
man,
my friend.
Let me tell y'all something. That conversation between Uncle Arthur and Uncle Terry, Uncle Arthur told him, said, look, simple. You bleep this up, you're done.
Yeah.
So Uncle Terry, he got the message very clear. He said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I got you. I was already excited from the first pick, man. I was eating some New York pizza. And I look back at the TV, and I see Falcons up for 26. I said, oh,
come
damn.
On. I couldn't believe
it. And then
I was like, oh, gosh.
James Pierce Jr. I said, I said, yeah, Uncle Terry heard loud and clear. This man went and got two first-round SEC pass rushers. So all I'm saying is The dogs is out, baby. Who let the dogs out? We let the dogs out. It's up.
Terry did.
Hey, great Friday. Bring out the gold tequila tonight, baby. It's up. Y'all have a great Friday.
Great call, man. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. And he's right, man. The vibes are just high right now. And just crazy when you saw that pick come back at 26. It was like, and what's he got cooking here?
Two of my favorite social media things, the Atlanta airport tweets out a picture of Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
The Atlanta airport.
Yes.
Like a gif of him. And my daughter, who works for Dog Nation, they're on their cruise right now. And they got all these Georgia fans on this cruise. Go watch that tweet from them last night when they picked Jalen Walker. That cruise ship went nuts. God. That thing went nuts, man.
God bless your daughter for spending a week on a boat with Brandon Adams.
Shout out to my guy. I tell you what. That's rough.
And she's chaperoning this week. Brandon Solo, she's like, Dad. So I've been texting with him.
I love it, man.
Yeah, that was a great reaction.
Let's go ahead and get a couple more phone calls. Let's go to Anthony over in Covington. Anthony, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Opie, give me that. Wait, wait, wait. Good morning, good morning.
I love it.
All right, Papa Squid, how are we doing this morning, sir?
Good, sir. Great. I know it. I'm sorry. Phenomenal, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's running on fumes, my friend.
All-American, how we doing, sir?
Dude, living the dream. Living the absolute dream right now, buddy.
And the man, the myth, the legend, sir, Mr. Rusty Manziel, it's an absolute honor to be able to talk in your presence, sir.
he's the mayor of Rome, Georgia.
My goodness, do I owe you some money? Hit me a Venmo this morning. Hit me a Venmo. Let me clear that up,
man. It's just good vibes.
Hey, real quick, I know we're up against it, man, but how amazing is this, man? We've been asking for it, and, you know, whether we go down in a ball of flames or anything like that, you got to give respect to Terry Fontenot for, hey, this is what we need.
Right.
It was a need, but it was also BPA, right? Best player available. Didn't have to move Jalen Walker. Also, Squid, I am disappointed you did not streak because I streak at my house. And where were you at? I thought you were my fearless leader.
Well,
but any hooser.
My audience had a little bit more a little bit more risk to it, a few more people. It wasn't I'm going to tell you something. It was only about the jail time. That was what kept me from it. That it was a little cold in there. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, man, we wouldn't set up a joke for me. Don't worry about it. But, hey, real quick, this is cool. For the first time in our history, we have a rotation of pass rushers. This makes me think back in 2008 with the New York Giants with their NASCAR set, right, where they lined up four edge rushers and they just sent them after the quarterback. Can you imagine Jalen Walker, Pierce, AK, and Leonard Floyd all standing up and just rush them on an obvious pass rushing situation?
That's a great point. We don't talk much about Leonard Floyd now.
I'm telling you, this is amazing. Hey, go Falcons. Rise up. I love you guys, man. Y'all have a wonderful day. I know I am.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, man, and shout out to everybody that's called today. It's been a lot of good vibes, a lot of good phone calls. But he's right. I mean, you have so many opportunities, and what he's talking about, the OCU Manure, I think Strahan was still with that group, Matthias Kiwanuka, Justin Tuck. I mean, they had guys all over the place, athleticism, and they could play multiple positions along the front. And that's what I was kind of bringing up earlier. You still have a number of options at linebacker. Don't get caught up on who's going to play two spots.
Man, my boy.
You can do anything.
My boys are going to kill me for bringing this team up, and not because you're sitting beside me, but I watched Alabama 92 with Eric Curry and John Copeland.
Good
and
Lord.
Let me tell you something. You had 2 seconds to turn it loose, or you were looking at the sky.
You better get
you
it
You know
out
how easy it is to cover when you know you got 2 seconds?
Jumping every route.
There's nothing.
Jumping every
there's
route.
Nothing better than defensive pressure knowing those two are getting home, man.
Well, there is one guy that knows about pressure getting in the face of quarterbacks, and that's Dave Archer. He's going to join us on the other side to talk about the magical night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and for all the Falcons fans out there. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Squid, Rusty Manziel live from Stone Mountain.
Rise up, baby.
Sports Radio.
Rise
92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live out here at Stone Mountain Golf Club for the 2025 Miracle Open for the Miracle for Moms Foundation. Look, we've had Rusty all day today. He's been answering a ton of our questions. Reminder, coming up at 8:40 today, we'll have a compensatory pick for the Morning Shift. You guys won't want to miss that announcement. That'll be after this segment. And, look, man, just real quick, Terry Fontenot at 1:30 today. Don't want to miss that. James Pearson, Jalen Walker will both be on with Dukes and Bell in the 4 o'clock hour day. So Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as always, having you guys covered wall to wall. And that brings me, Bo, to our guest, Mr. Dave Archer. Now, Dave, you were in the building last night. I know that Squid was with you. you guys, West Durham, Mike Conte, did a great job covering it last night, but you knew the vibes around the Falcon fan base long before any of us did and got to feel that building a little bit, man. What was the reaction like from your end?
Yeah, it was incredible, Mike. You kind of knew that if it got to a certain guy, we were going to get the reaction we kind of been waiting for several years. And it was so weird because I was in the building last year with the maybe the incredulous feeling that they felt last year, or the befuddled feeling they felt last year after what Atlanta had done in deciding to go with a quarterback, which, as it's turned out, was a pretty good pick as well. But it was just there was an anticipation. We had probably 8 or 10 guys that were kind of circling our area that were kind of trying to lean into us to hear what we were saying and trying to get an idea of what might be happening. But just to watch the drama unfold of a guy that you and I and Bo talked about yesterday morning and that we really have all been talking about for the last several months is, could possibly one of the best defensive players in the draft be still available at 15? And when things stacked up the way they did, the surprises that kind of happened in the first round, early in the top 10 with Carolina and what they did, with what New Orleans, you know, we thought New Orleans might take one of the Georgia players. They did. All of a sudden you look up and Jalen Walker's sitting there, and I think all of us became fans at that point, Mike. I mean, as much as we were trying to analyze it and talk about what this guy can do and what he can add to whatever team he goes to, all of a sudden he's sitting in your lap. And then there was the worry that, are they going to take him? Are they going to take him? Because it went, you know, almost the full 10 minutes before they squeezed the trigger on it. But ultimately, Jalen Walker is a Georgia Bulldog. And then we became fans as we were leaving because we had checked out with what happened at 26 for them to jump back in. And really kind of describes what I think Terry Fontenot's been since he's been here, is they don't know what he's going to do. I don't think the rest of the league knows what Terry Fontenot's doing. And I think that's one of the strengths he has is he does such a good job talking to up to the draft. You're not sure where they're going, and then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about, "Hey, we got to get more draft capital. Well, we can't do this, that, yet." He does what he did last night at 26. So just an amazing evening.
Well, the scouting report, Arch, is he's 75% aggressive. That's what he told us, and I think that number might have jumped up. 75% of the time, Terry trades up every time. Hey, look, I know we're going to get to James Paris. I know we're also going to ask you about the rest of the NFC South. To me, though, with this pick, with Jalen Walker pick with James Paris, one of the things that is kind of unlocked is Jalen Walker, you talked about it yesterday, that he can play everywhere. He's a three-down player. He can cover. He's strong against the run. He's obviously can come off the edge and get that job done, too. He can spy. That's something I want to touch on. I feel like the difference, you can talk about clock management all you want, the difference in the Washington game was the second half game plan that Cliff Kingsbury had, where he said, Jaden, drop back, one look, and if it's not there, use your legs. And it destroyed us. Our athleticism in the linebacker core lost us that game. Kind of touch on what Jalen Walker brings, where you can use him as that spy at times, like he did in the SEC championship game against Jalen Milroe and company, and a little bit against Arch Manning in Texas.
Yeah, his ability to run sideline to sideline, Bo, is really unmatched. We talked, you know, he was the Butkus Award winner a year ago, the top linebacker, and you can put all the accolades on him you want, but just his innate ability to track the football. You can put any type of tape on you want to. You see him walking people down, whether it's a bubble screen to the outside, it's a quarterback that decides to get outside, it's a, you know, if he's kind of with a jet sweep and he's standing in the middle of the field, you look up and outside the numbers, Jalen Walker's making a tackle. I think the part that maybe we tried to emphasize some is the schooling that some of these Georgia players get, all these Georgia players get when they go there. And I know Rusty's talked about this a great deal. When you come out of Georgia and you played your Kirby Smart, you know how to play defensive football. You understand leveraging the ball. You understand the signs to read, the instincts that are there with all these players because they're 4- and 5-star kids, but you got to nurture those. And that's what Georgia and their staff do under Kirby Smart's leadership. They teach these guys to take those instincts and then manifest those into the ability to almost kind of predict where you're going to go. And when they do, then they have that athleticism to go walk people down. But there's no question that the ability for quarterbacks to move in the National Football League. We saw two guys drafted last night at quarterback. Jackson Dart, who the Giants jumped back into. They went in and got, he's an athlete-type player. That's a guy that Walker's had to track down for the last couple of years at Ole Miss. And certainly Cam Ward's ability to create and extend plays. That's what this thing has become to a large extent. I mean, think about Patrick Mahomes extending plays, Jaden Daniels, all these guys extending plays, Jalen Hurts, who won a Super Bowl, extending plays. Do you have guys that can go get them? Well, you just drafted two guys that's what they do. I talked about it on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, or I talked about it on the AtlantaFalcon.com about some of these guys who were prospects of mine. Both these guys were guys that I termed hunters. These are both hunters, and they can walk people down, and that's what Jalen Walker does.
Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer hanging out with us here on this celebratory Friday morning. And Dave, look, man, I think that's a perfect kind of prelude to lead into the conversation about the NFC South. You guys did a great job covering it last night where you got to 8-9. You thought that Carolina might look at a Georgia player. You thought that Mykael Williams would be in play. You also thought that the Saints, I at least did, thought that there's a possibility they could take a quarterback, a Jackson Dart, a Shadur. You're surprised to see both those teams pass up on these two Georgia guys and a lot of other defense players in the draft.
Yeah, it was stunning, Mike. I mean, when you get there, you think, okay, yeah, this is where Jalen Walker's coming off the board. He'd been mocked there a lot of times, and I know that's kind of a speculation type deal. But when you looked at their needs, I mean, Carolina needed a receiver. I mean, you saw the emergence of what they had done offensively. We saw it in the last game of the year here that Carolina was trending in the right direction. Dave Canales had done a good job of bringing on their young quarterback, and they'd added a couple pieces there, and so would a wide receiver make some sense? Okay, it made some sense there. For New Orleans, offensive line, you know, they got battered on the offensive side of the football last year. I mean, they were beat up as far as, you know, their ability to move the ball. We played them, and we ended up losing to a team that was really beat up and didn't have a lot of players on the field. But, you know, their quarterback was sacked 37 times last year, which was 13th best in the National Football League. They were 15th in the league rushing the football. So when you start looking at New Orleans, offensive line was not necessarily an area you were leaning toward, and all of a sudden they take the big tackle out of Texas. So that was a surprise, albeit it was a need for them. I just think that there were some other places, and especially with the guys on the board that you thought were on the board or were on the board, that they would take those guys and maybe just – to be selfish and not allow anybody else to get them. And Atlanta ended up being the beneficiary of those two teams going in maybe a little bit of an odd direction.
Arch, why did the Falcons love James Pierce so much? I mean, I know what the accolades are. He's 6'5", 245. He's fast. He's got strong hands. But what really did they see him doing in the Ulbrich Raheem Morris defensive system? Why did they fall in love with that enough to trade back into the first round for him?
Ulbrich's defenses the last 3 years, and obviously Robert Saleh, a big part of what they did in New York, but they were in the top three or four in the National Football League each of the last 3 years in total defense. If you remember 2 years ago, they drafted a long, kind of skinny kid out of Iowa State, Will McDonald, a very similar-looking guy to what you're going to get with James Pierce, narrow hips, explosive, can bend and get around the corner, but can close. And as I said with you guys' first question, his ability to hunt and go get the football. They're looking for guys that can go track the quarterback down. And Pierce, if you want to just pick straight line, go get the quarterback, you could argue that James Pierce is the best guy in the draft. You know, even with Abdul Carter in the conversation. He and Mike Green were two slim-hipped guys that play with a relentlessness on the outside. And then when they get clean and they free up, they can finish. And I think that's the thing that's interesting about Pierce is his ability to kind of flatten and finish at the top of things. That was Araku is another one of those kind of guys that does those type of things. But with James Pierce having done it in the SEC, There's some value to having drafted these two guys out of the best conference in America. And they played heavy competition the last several years of their career. That's immediately where they're going to get. We see guys being taken at tackle. New Orleans took a tackle from Texas. Well, those guys played against that guy, you know, Kelvin Banks. So that's who they've been playing against. So you go get guys that are NFL ready. And I think that these two guys are that way.
Arch, appreciate you hanging out with us today, man. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, I believe, man. But let's go get some more players.
That sounds great, man. Appreciate you, and thanks for joining us last night. Great insight you gave us last night, and I'm sorry that your boy let us down last night with the whole,
Mr. Frodo feet over here.
And just don't follow your words.
That's what happens, dude.
I made a promise to my wife, Arch, that I would come home and not be brought home in handcuffs, all right?
I told her, I told you I would have bailed you, man. But nonetheless, shout out to Dave Archer for hanging out with us.
Still would have been there.
Hanging out. Look, we got to go to break. We're live out here at Stone Mountain Golf Club, man. It is a NFL post-first round extravaganza today on Sports Radio 929. When we come back, though, Bo, we have an introduction to make. We do have a compensatory pick. We've talked about it a number of times today. Miss Tiffany Blackman has left us and on to bigger and better things in her career, but that left us with some compensation to be had. So a 92.9 The Game draft pick coming up on the other side of the break. I promise you don't want to miss it. We'll also do a Life of Squid.
With the compensatory pick in the first round of the morning shift draft, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game selects Allie Mack, co-host, Duluth, Georgia.
Breaking news, baby. Breaking news.
And I believe we have said Miss Allie Mack on the phone with us right now. Allie, welcome to the show, my friend. I have so much advice to give you for the show starting next week, but we're just excited, Allie. Hope you are, too.
Oh, I am so excited. But listen, Jalen Walker got his hat last night. I'm going to need mine today because I just got drafted.
Well, we don't have hats ready for you, nor do we have a jersey ready for you. We do it a little worse in the NFL draft. But, you know, maybe Mike Conte can meet you at the podium and give you, like the hug that Goodell does with the players. I don't really know. It's not my thing. I'm just sitting back in the war room.
Yeah, and look, man, if you guys are just now joining us, we talked about it. We got a compensatory pick for the morning shift because Miss Tiffany Blackman has headed on to bigger and better things. Miss Allie Mack, beginning next week, will join myself and Squid Billy and Dylan here on the morning shift. We are so stoked, Allie. I don't know how you're going to be able to handle myself and Bo. You've already got a sneak peek at it, obviously, back in August and September when Tiffany was out. But we're so stoked to have you on. And hopefully, you know, we can hit the ground running. We all have big plans for the show, and I think you'll fit right in.
Well, I think so, too. And I got to say that Bo and I have worked together since 2008. We met way back in the day, all before this Squid Billy, Squid Nation nonsense got started. If anyone can keep him in line, it's going to be me. And I'm very proud that that one week in August, I mentioned that he was a conspiracy theorist one time, and it is now his permanent label. I'm feeling so accomplished about that.
Allie, are you ready to deal with Bad Mood Bo every single morning? Are you ready to get in there and get the vibes going?
100% energy, positivity, and finding a silver lining, that is my superpower. So I got
this. God bless you. God bless you for signing up for this.
Easy.
Can we save that right there for what she just said with that energy?
Well, you guys, Allie just mentioned something. It's funny because she was one of the first people I ever met in radio. We were commiserating early in this business, being tortured by people that we worked for, Steak Shapiro. I would be going and the first time I ever drove a Mercedes was when Steak said, "Go get my car and fill it up with gas, and then iced coffee, two squats." Meanwhile, Allie's over there answering phones in what was only like a closet without a door.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The phone jammer closet that simply I would fit in. Nobody else could fit inside of that thing. And Bo was the only person who would have real conversations with me. So there's a softer side to Bo.
Yes.
Well,
it's true.
I love it, man. Allie, we cannot wait to get started with you starting on Monday morning. So Allie's going to be a big part. But enjoy the rest of the draft tonight, Allie. We'll see you bright and early on Monday morning.
Yeah. I will see you Monday morning. And if you want to find me before we kick things off Monday at 6 a.m., you can find me on all the socials at Allie Mack Radio.
There you go. Oh, took the words right out of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she tweets. She does the
She's
sports.
Not
she
playing
does
around, man.
Whatever she needs to do. She is going to be our superhero. That is Miss Allie Mack that will join us from here on out as a permanent member of the morning shift starting Monday morning. So stoked about that, man. Bo, before we get to the rest of this conversation, I just want to remind people we're live from Stone Mountain Golf Club for the 2025 Miracle Open that benefits the Miracle for Mom Foundation.
It's getting packed.
Guys, before we get to Life of Squid, tonight and tomorrow, the rest of the draft picks. Now, we don't really know, you know, what the future holds for these picks, and you could be into tomorrow when you're looking at it if anything trades back around. But you've got 101, you've got 118, I believe. You got a couple, you know, you got a couple of picks along. What are you guys targeting? And Rusty, I'll start with you real quick. What are you targeting if you're the Falcons the rest of the draft?
I would love to have a corner.
Yeah.
I would love to have a guy. And you can find those value guys. Give me somebody that can tackle. Give me a six-footer that can cover. Maybe a guy that ran 4.58 that might have a little bit of question. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't go in the first round because of this.
Okay.
But give me a guy that – give me another corner. You got to have enough guys that can rush the passer. There's not enough guys that can cover. Give me a guy that can cover.
I love it. Yeah, but what are we looking at?
I actually love what Rusty just said in a corner. The guy that I'm wondering if will fall deep enough is Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame.
I love him.
Yeah. Rusty, I would love to see that guy fall. I just don't know if he will. I would even
Give me start a rumor today.
Yeah, can you please? Because that'd be great. Also,
we didn't like him in the pre-draft process.
We heard it was a really bad interview, and I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of people don't want him in Fulton County.
Doesn't fit the ethos.
I just don't think there's any way that a Jared Wilson falls. Could Seth McLaughlin be there? Could that be a center that maybe falls? Obviously
that's
an Alabama
Buford guy.
Could Ohio State?
Yeah. We talked off air. The word on the street is the center draft is not very good. You had North Dakota guy go off last night.
Yeah, great table.
Could have played positions. So I think no way Jared Wilson makes it out of the second round. But Seth McLaughlin's another guy that's battle tested. You know, been at Alabama, been at Ohio State, been against some grown men every day.
Yeah, and I think it's easier to. And now you bring up Jared Wilson. I think it's easier for me to say this. I think Jared Wilson obviously fits what the Falcons do a little bit more. The Seth McLaughlin's a bigger body. I always bring up Bo, and I always forget his name. What was the Jet center back in, 2010 that was, highly paid, had, a 4 or 5-year Pro Bowl run?
Nick
Mangold.
Mangold.
Seth McLaughlin fits that Ohio State Mangold kind of feel to a T, where you are not going to move him backwards. But Jared Wilson's a guy that can climb to the second level. I'll be curious. You know, do they try to find depth at offensive tackle? I think that's one of those things, Bo, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think we looked at offensive tackle at 15 and said possibility. Three come off in, the top 10? And then I think you look at it and you go, you know what? When we get back into the 100s, I don't know that it's there. I feel fine about Storm Norton. We don't have to replace him. I don't know that you find a starter back in the 100s that can take over at right tackle or left tackle or whatever it is. So you look elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if that's not something I don't look at maybe in the offseason. In the second round next year, which, because unless you want to trade back into the first round again next year, I don't know how you want to do that. But I would rather take a flyer on a defensive player where I could maybe let him wait and kind of adjust and build up and maybe get used to it than just take a guy that – he might, kind of do the Jovan Gwynn route, which is not been much of anything, really. And you do have Storm Norton and McGarry for this 1 year. And maybe you say, well, let's extend McGarry for a year and lower that cap hit. And maybe that way you're not so locked in. I just don't know where you want to go. You do have money to spend next year. So I don't know how you want to do that.
And I think that you have to look at safety right now. Obviously made some moves to safety, but Justin Simmons is not back. You was it Person, I think, that you signed? I don't know that he's an immediate starter, so DeMarco Helms, what's his health like? I think that'll be something I keep my mind on as well. So that's just kind of how I feel about moving. I think you got some secondary concerns. You want to add depth. I just don't know where the value lies when you get to the 100s. Maybe you can package them and move up tonight, Bo. So I know that Terry's not afraid to do that as well.
Yeah, you have a third, a fourth, and one more seventh, right? So, look. I just want – I want guys that can start. If I got – I'll put it this way. If I got three starters out of this, I would be smiling from
over
ear
the
to
moon.
Ear.
Oh, and I don't need over the moon.
And guess what, guys? I don't need those extra picks. I got three starters. Great.
I'm 100% with you.
Let's go. Let's roll.
I said this, and this is not a knock on him, but Zion Logue was the seventh rounder. He ain't here no more. We don't have to worry about those guys in the end. No. So it is what it is. I'm with you, Bo, on that one.
You can get guys from the UFL to be camp bodies if you need it. Let's go, Dylon. If Jalen Walker fell to 15 and the Falcons didn't have to move up, I will streak through MBS. Mm. I'm going to sit down tonight. Gonna have I might throw some meat on the Blackstone, use some Baron Burton W Sauce Fireshire, and then I'm gonna have an Owl In Lager while I watch the second round, get ready for the third round of the draft for the Falcons. That's where our pick's gonna be most likely. So thanks to my friends at New Realm Brewing. All right, guys, I saw Carl Dukes tweeting earlier this morning, or just a few minutes ago, and like 15 minutes ago, and he's like he's happy with the Falcons did. They'll have James Pierce, I believe, around 440, and Jalen Walker, I think, in the 450 range, somewhere in that time frame tomorrow, this afternoon. And he's like, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're tired? What'd you do? You got off at 7 o'clock last night. You went home and enjoyed the draft. I worked, got home at midnight, had a baby sitting there, couldn't go to sleep. I was wired. I was tweeting with guys. Apparently there's a couple of guys
listen at him.
Upset.
I was about to say the same thing.
Man. So hold on, listen. Hear me out.
Your first weekend.
Hear me out. And I'm hearing this guy complain, and I told Mike earlier, Rusty, and I want to get both y'all's take as both of you, Rusty. You have three daughters, I think.
Four daughters.
Four. Excuse me, my bad. My math was off, and Mike's obviously got two kids. So the baby wakes up this morning around 3. No, it was 2. Mm. I think 2:45, and she's crying.
Those days.
Change the diaper, and then I get the bottle ready, and so feed her, and she starts to go back to sleep as she's finishing the bottle. I take her into the bedroom where Amy is and put her in that bassinet, and I come downstairs and I'm like, I told Amy, hey, I dropped the baby off. I'm going downstairs. I'm going to get an hour and a half, and I get down here on the couch. And I'm tossing and turning. And I go, oh, I got to update the – we have this app, Rusty, where we're keeping up with everything, make sure we got everything right. And I go, oh, I go,
isn't that
I go
good?
To update the app.
Isn't that good?
I go to update the app, and I see that the baby had woke up an hour and a half before. And Amy, I guess, had popped in there. And I go, oh, no, did I double feed the baby? So I start panicking, and I'm like sitting there, and I cannot rest. I literally go upstairs in a frenzy. I think I overfed the baby. Did you wake her up? She's like, no. She's like, I did, but she went back. She was just a little fussy. I checked on her. I didn't feed her. Dude, I was losing my mind. Like, it's the first time I've had my I killed my baby freak out, which luckily I didn't.
I got good news for you, and Rusty will back me up on this. Babies usually come with safety valves when it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
If you overfeed them, usually they will set off the alarm.
There's an exit one way or the other.
With a quickness, and you will find out what that – they have a little safety valve going on right there, man. So, yeah, you didn't mess up, dude. And honestly – it's hard. It's hard to mess kids up.
I
dropped my kid. I don't even want to get into it.
I needed that.
There's an app for being a dad.
Is there a YouTube for that?
No. See, hold on now. Hold on. Don't get it misconstrued. It's not like it tells you what to do. It just allows you to keep up with what the last time she was fed.
Nothing wrong with technology, man.
And the movements, the diapers, the bottles.
And we're playing zone coverage, and we're two ships passing in the night right now. The way our time frame is
going. High five in the hallway.
I was freaking out. I was like, man,
I got a call the other day from my insurance agent. He goes, hey, you know those three daughters you have on your car insurance? Yeah. Mm. Wait till you hear this premium.
Oh, God.
You will covet the days of trading off for bottles.
I keep waiting until daycare's over, and they're like, and everybody I talk to is like, you don't get rid of that money.
You just rotate it into something else.
Oh yeah. I don't need that news in my life. Squid, you and I'll be back together tomorrow at noon, man. Hopefully you're strapped up and ready to go. We'll be on for a third day edition of the NFL draft coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, reminder, guys, listen to me. Terry Fontenot today, 1:30 today, and also you'll get James Pierce and Jalen Walker in the 4 o'clock hour. And like we just told you, Miss Allie Mack will be with me and Bo on Monday morning. You guys enjoy the rest of the draft. We're live here from Stone Mountain Golf Club. Until then, Bo.
Stay cool, Atlanta.